The Knights, a fellowship of young musicians of diverse and accomplished backgrounds who come together for the shared joy of musical exploration. That's the characterization of the New York Times. They're performing tomorrow night in Asheville at the Diana Wortham Theater in a concert presented by Free Range Asheville. I had the pleasure of talking with co-directors Colin Jacobson and Eric Jacobson from Chicago immediately following a live performance that they did in the studios of WFMT. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thanks for talking with us. And congratulations on a great concert. I was listening from down here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's remarkable. Great to be in this radio world today with both WFMT and you guys.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, and we really look forward to your performance. So you've been described as an orchestra of friends. You have members of your orchestra that do all kinds of other musical things in New York. Can you tell me what defines the Knights? Is it your repertoire? Is it your approach to the music?
Well, I think it's many things because with a group of about 40 people, there are so many incredible individual interests. Mm. And I think, you know, when we play something like a Beethoven symphony, which we'll be doing in Asheville, and we're very excited to come to Asheville for the first time, knowing that it's a great music town. I mean, it's a cathartic experience to play a piece like that with 40 of your friends and to find your own way with that music. And I think there are a lot of different interests in the group. There are people who are singer-songwriters, a wonderful violinist and singer-songwriter named Christina Corton. There are people who are Baroque music specialists. There are people who love doing new music. Yeah. And the principal bass player, Sean, is an incredible jazz bassist. So I think obviously, not all of those influences can be brought to bear at any one moment, but I think we can tap into all those resources as a collective and uncover new things, hopefully, in a Beethoven symphony, but also allow those talents to arise at different times.
Mm. And do you or do the members of the orchestra have a voice in choosing your repertoire?
We have a programming committee that gets together quite a bit and talks about how to put things together and what type of music goes well together, what sits on the right type of program, what's our, you know, 5-year trajectory, what music do we want to do over the next few years, what are we good at, what should we get better at. Colin and I are both, of course, primary to that committee, and we do so much of the programming. I think that's one of the biggest things that we really try to put a lot of time and energy into, which is making sure that the content that we're sharing on stage is both, you know, great content, but also in the midst of the right type of frames. So always making sure that a piece gets programmed on the right concert, because every piece can be performed. The question is, how do you frame those?
Mm, interesting, yeah.
Well, and I think we are omnivorous in our tastes. So, you know, we on this tour that we're currently on, we are playing a suite of Baroque dances that morph from one into the other in rapid succession, almost like a Baroque playlist, ADD kind of thing. and that's the oldest thing. And then we're also doing stuff written basically this year. Wow. And in between Beethoven and Dvorak and a piece by Sufjan Stevens. We've been playing on this tour that Mike Atkinson, one of the horn players in the group, has arranged for the group. So it's a wide variety of things. But as Eric said, hopefully it doesn't come across as a hodgepodge, but we try to put thought into how the pieces go next to each other.
You mentioned Sufjan Stevens. What appeals to you as a classical artist? What appeals to you about his music?
Well, I think there's a great moment in some ways right now in the acoustic music world, whether that be from the classical, folk, or pop worlds. And I think he's someone who, in his very persona, does cross between those places pretty fluidly. Mm. And he's our neighbor in Brooklyn. And Mike Atkinson, the guy who arranged these tunes, has worked with him on a number of projects, including his thing, the BQE, which was commissioned by BAM, and has recently helped him create orchestral pieces for the New York City Ballet that were choreographed by a young choreographer named Justin Peck. So I think it's, you know, I think it's a natural fit. I think Sufjan, as you know, in many of his records, uses actually many of the wind players in the Knights. Alex Sapp, the flutist, is basically on almost everything he's done for a number of years until his most recent album, which is so sparse and pared down and devastatingly beautiful. Yeah. But
A couple things strike me. One is, you're very young and very 21st century ensemble, but some of this sounds familiar from earlier times, and that is composers working closely with ensembles, with individual players having connections with other musicians that influence the ensemble. It sounds kind of like a neighborhood and a very supportive environment to be working in. It must be a great joy.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be too far of a stretch to imagine a time when Beethoven had to call upon his friends to play his Eroica symphony, to come together and actually have that performance and, selling the tickets and actually writing the music and then putting it all together.
Yes.
And, exactly. And there's that collective feel that's quite present in music of the 21st century as well.
Yeah. Now, I have one more question, and it deals with orchestral musicians and the work that you do. Part of the aesthetic of an orchestra is that the players, they give up some of their individual freedom to create this homogeneous blend, and so the performance is by an orchestra rather than 32 or 40 soloists. Is that something that comes up in your work or in dealing with other musicians in the group, or is that just a natural part of the process, you think?
I think being a part of any type of community, whether it's a country, a city, an organization, an orchestra, one has to make compromises to a greater good. I think we all, we pay taxes. and I think in an orchestral situation, there are times when, it's just too much taxes. But I think in our situation, we try so hard so that we all have a collective goal. That means, we start the piece, we end the piece, we start the program, we end the program, and there's a very specific musical entity to every phrase and how it connects. And I think there is absolutely in the rehearsal process times when some musicians can see something working in a different way. Now, whether that's, as obvious as a tempo or as specific as the character of an eighth note pickup that lasts for a tenth of a second that probably would go by quickly for an audience member. However, because we go so deep within the music, it becomes actually like that very small thing means so much. And I think that the best part about a collective where we do rehearse in an open environment is that theoretically the goal is that at the end of a rehearsal process and the beginning of concerts, it is encapsulated in that it's ever-changing, and in the moment every idea is your idea, even if someone brought it up. You're motivated because it's your vision. It's the way you're going to do it because you're part of this team. And I think that's, when you look at great sports teams or so on, you see people that are individuals and they stand out and you don't necessarily have the same collective feel, opposed to a team that really works together. And even if it's, not necessarily for your gain, it's for the greater gain of the group.
I appreciate so much you talking with us. Colin Jacobson and Eric Jacobson, co-founders and artistic directors of The Knights that perform in Asheville tomorrow night at the Diana Wortham Theater in a concert presented by Free Range Asheville.